This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 156.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to be gritty in business and why you need to. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention my Soulful PR live event in July in London. Now, it's happening on July 13th, so that's 2017 if you're listening in the future. And it's my annual event where I get 8 really high-profile national journalists in a room with 80 business owners for the day. So we've got speakers from Marie Claire magazine, we've got speakers from Woman's Hour, BBC Radio 4, we've got someone from ITV's Good Morning Britain, we've got somebody from The Pool, a really kind of successful online publication. We've also got journalists from The Guardian, from The Mirror, from The New Statesman, so it's going to be a really, really exciting day. And if you've ever been to any of my events, you'll know that I don't organise the kind of events where speakers just get up and talk and then go off again, as you get at many conferences. What I do is I ask my speakers to stay all day. I ask them to sit at tables with the delegates so people who come along can chat to them throughout the day over coffee and lunch. And what I also do is I organise a speed networking session during the lunch hour, so you get to meet every single speaker and introduce yourself. So it's a really fantastic opportunity. And for those who want to go even deeper, I host a mastermind session at the end of the day. So I think a maximum of 10 business owners, we usually say 8, but sometimes we can squeeze it to 10. They can stay on for a couple of hours at the end of the day. So if you do that, you get 20 minutes in the hot seat to talk about your business with the speakers and get their advice on how you should be getting press coverage for your business. So that really is quite a unique opportunity. And everybody who did that last year was really, really pleased with the results. So we had some really good wins from last year. So one of the most notable wins was Emma Mapp, who's a designer and a photographer. And she designs these really funky camera bags. And she came along to the event with her camera bag. She met the editor from Stylist magazine. And she also met the editor of The Guardian's Christmas gift guide, which I'm sure I don't need to tell you how many people clamour each year to get featured in The Guardian's Christmas gift guide. But Emma chatted to both of them. She showed them her camera bag. And the long and short of it is that the camera bag was featured in Stylist the next week. The camera bag was also featured in The Guardian's Christmas gift guide. And also one of the other speakers from the Press Association actually liked the bag so much she bought one for herself. And Emma's gone from strength to strength with her PR. So that's just one example of how somebody really benefited from the day. So another thing that I've introduced this year, so last year we just had one day. So it was just one day, speakers, delegates, really, really fantastic day. But the feedback I got was that people had a really, really amazing day, but some people would have liked to have some time to consolidate what they've learned, to reflect on what they've learned. So what I've done this time around is introduce a day two. So some of the delegates are going to be coming back for a second day of training just with me to reflect on what they've learned on the first day and actually start to put together some ideas to pitch to the press. So I'll help them come up with some ideas. I'll help them to start to flesh out some pitches for the media. So because I think last year, one of the things that I noticed that we had some people who had never, ever met a journalist on a national magazine or newspaper or radio or telly before. And actually, they were a little bit overwhelmed by the whole experience. They thought it was amazing. But actually, just having some time with some support to think, okay, well, that was really good. I made some really good connections there. But how can I actually capitalize on that and make sure that I actually do something about this? I don't just have a great day and go off again. Another thing we're doing this year is we're also having more social events. So obviously, as it's a two-day event, we're going to have some drinks on the first night in London. So it's in East London where I hold the event. And we also probably will have some drinks the night before as well, because people are coming from all over the country and also possibly abroad to come to the event. So we're definitely going to be getting together for some drinks and food and that kind of thing. So if you like the idea of Soulful PR Live, even though it's a few months away, we've already sold over half the tickets, including most of the mastermind tickets. So if you're listening in the future, that's July 2017. You may have missed it already. However, I will link to that in the show notes, and it would be lovely to see you at the event. So now, on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to be gritty in business. And I'm going to be doing something that I don't do very often on the show. I'm going to be going a little bit more personal. So back in episode 150, to celebrate the fact it was a landmark episode, I got a friend of mine, Rob Lawrence, who's the host of the Inspirational Creatives podcast, to interview me. And I got a lot of really positive feedback from people who quite enjoyed hearing a little bit more about the person behind the podcast. So this episode is a really, really practical episode on how to be more gritty in business and how to do it, but it's also drawing very much from my own personal experiences. So if you listen to the show regularly or you follow me on social media, then you'll know that I recently ran the London Marathon. And if you're listening in the future, that was back in April 2017. And reflecting on that experience, as I'm recording this now, it was just a week ago, or just over a week ago, there were so many lessons that I learned from the experience that can be applied to my business, or that even without knowing, I was already applying to my business. So I thought I'd share some of them with you on this episode. So I'm going to run through seven lessons that I was reminded of by my recent marathon experience. So what really inspired me to create this episode was a message that I got just after my marathon. So I ran the London Marathon. It's the third time that I've run it. And this time around, I ran it in 4 hours, 25 minutes and 29 seconds, if I remember rightly. It's my third attempt. So the first attempt I had, I ran in 4 hours, 55. And actually, I didn't know it at the time, but I was very, very anemic. And I almost needed a blood transfusion afterwards. I didn't collapse or anything, but it's a bit of a miracle that I didn't, because my hemoglobin was so, so low after that. So I went out and had another go the following year, but I basically blew out at about mile 18 or 19. I don't think my training was really that sound. I got to about mile 18, 19, just kind of blew out and I ran the whole way, but I sort of limped out and I finished in 4 hours, 44. And when I got the opportunity to run it again, I ran for the Miscarriage Association. It's the second time I've run for them. I just thought, look, I know that I can do it quicker. I really, really want to do it this time. I was disappointed with my performance last time. I thought, I really want to get it right this time. So I set out there thinking I wanted to get a personal best, and I wanted to get under 4.5 hours. And actually, the training plan that I was working to was for 4 hours, 20 minutes. So a quick bit about the race. Obviously, it's a great experience doing the London Marathon. The excitement for me of just getting on the train in the morning and going into central London, or it's not central London, Greenwich, and everybody else on the train pretty much is doing the marathon. You get there, all the excitement of being in the park, the music, the TV cameras. For me, I know some people don't like that, but I find the whole experience really fun. You know, as you're going around, there's people lining the streets every possible place. There's music, there's bands playing, there's just so much going on. It really is an amazing, amazing experience. However, it's also a really tricky thing to do. So I ran about the first 20 miles feeling okay, you know, I'm feeling okay with it. But the last 6 miles were really, really hard, and I struggled to keep the pace. I pretty much kept my pace steady to get that 4 hours 20 time, but I really did struggle to kind of keep the pace, or so I thought at the time. And I was getting quite annoyed with myself and quite kind of angry, but I was pushing and pushing because I wanted to get as close to 4 hours 20 as possible. So when I finished, I was actually really happy, because for those last 6 miles, I knew I was going to get a personal best by quite a long way. I knew I was going to get, I wasn't going to hit 4:20, but I knew I was going to be sort of close, and I was definitely going to get a really good time. So although it was tough, I was at the same time kind of telling myself, well, look, you know, this is going to be a big personal best. You've done really well. Just kind of keep going. And I pushed myself through those last 6 miles. But just after I finished the race, when I got home in the evening, I was working to a plan that had been set by a friend of mine called Mark, who's an accountant, but he's also a running coach. And his wife is a personal trainer as well, and she's worked with me in the past. And she sent me a message saying, like, congratulations, I don't think you know how well you've done. And I was like, what? You know, average Joe there coming in at four hours, 25 minutes. And she said to me, look, I get the impression, because she's a really fast runner herself, that people think I only applaud people who run really fast times. But she said, we tracked your race. And I belong to a running club, so there were various other people from my running club who were also running it. And she said, out of everybody that we tracked, you ran the best race. I was like, what? She said, you were the most consistent, you slowed down the least in the last section of the race, And basically she said, you ran a really gritty race. And she said, in a few days, I want you to go back and look at the stats and then you will see how well you've done. Because I actually said to Mark, who set up my training plan, I hope I haven't disappointed you because I didn't get 420. And he's pretty much said the same. You know, we were really, really impressed with the race that you ran. So I'm going to go through some of the things that I learned and I was reminded of by training for and doing the London Marathon. Hopefully there will be some inspiration in here for you too. So the first thing I learned was about setting realistic goals. So I can run 5Ks and 10Ks and half marathons now quite fast for my age. I can run a 5K fairly quickly for my age. I mean, not super quick, but certainly above average. So when I was talking to some of my friends at the running club, they were saying you could easily do your marathon in 4 hours or under 4 hours even. You should go for that. And I just didn't feel that I was ready. I'm quite new to running. Until 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't do any exercise. I had no idea I had any kind of potential whatsoever to be able to run. And I just felt like I wasn't ready. And I said, no, I'm going to go for this 4:20 or at least under 4:30 goal. And then if I achieve that, then I'll go back and have another go. Like if I can manage that and that feels achievable to me, then I'll go back and try and hit 4 hours or thereabouts afterwards. And I was really, really glad that I did that because I think although I achieved my goal, I think I was just about there. And it was a really, really kind of tough race. So the business lesson there really is to set yourself realistic goals. You know, you can always move the goalposts if you find that you're doing better than you think. I find myself working particularly with the members of my Soulful PR studio. They often have quite unrealistic goals. And I find myself sort of gently trying to kind of get them to kind of move the goalposts back a bit and so that they can achieve something realistic first. And one really good example is people often say that they want to launch online courses or membership communities. And they'll say, you know, I want to sell 100 of my online course. And I'll say, well, who are you going to sell it to? And they say, well, I don't know. I'm going to build up an audience on social media. I'm going to build up an email list. Have you got one now? No. So what I say to people is, you know, instead of trying to sell 100 of your courses, how about first of all, you try and get 10 people to sign up for your online course. And maybe you don't make it up front. You just make the first bit of it and just check that people actually want it and get 10 people to test it, maybe at a discounted price. And then once you've tested your idea and you know that it works, then you can readjust your goals, but set a realistic goal in the first place. Because I think if any of us set out to try and launch an online course or membership site without an audience and sell 100, you know, that is quite an unrealistic goal. And if you want to know more about that, have a listen to episode 153 with Mark Asquith. We talk about product launch strategies there, but it really is about goal setting and it is about, you know, setting realistic goals. You can always readjust them. You can always go back and have another go, just like I'm going to do with my marathon. I'm going to go back and hopefully next year and see if I can get nearer 4 hours. So the second thing I was reminded of was that success takes hard work. There was just no getting around it. So I found out late that I was running the marathon. I found out in January. So I was running for the Miscarriage Association and they basically got in touch with me. I was on the waiting list and said, look, yeah, happy news. A couple of our runners have dropped out because they're pregnant. Can you step in? And because I'd run the marathon for them before and they knew I could raise the funds, and that was fine. So I jumped in. So I started a little bit late, but I basically trained for 16 weeks. Now that meant getting up every Sunday morning, it was, and doing a long run up to 3.5 hours every single week. During that period, I went over to Hemel Hempstead and did a 20-mile run there. I also did a couple of half marathons as well. And so it was quite tough. During the week, I would go out and do what's called tempo runs. So I would try and kind of like improve my speed. And obviously in amongst that, I was also trying to keep fit and go to the gym. And basically I was doing some kind of form of exercise pretty much every day. And in terms of the business lesson from that, I think it's just the same. You know, success takes hard work and takes time, and you do have to put in the hours. I often meet people who are just starting out their business and they say, oh, well, I tried a Facebook page for a few weeks and nothing happened. Or, you know, I posted a few times on Twitter and I didn't really get any uptake. You know, if you want to see results in your business, you have to put in the time and you have to keep showing up. You know, and I had loads of bad days in my training. I'll tell you about one of them later. But you have to pick yourself up, and you know, sometimes you have bad days, things go wrong, you have to kind of just keep going. But it does take time and it does take hard work, and there is no getting around it. How many of these kind of success stories that you hear? And I think there's an episode that's worth listening to if this is something that you find challenging. Episode 136, the one thing that you can do to get more social media followers. There's lots of tips in that one that I think you'll find relevant. So the other thing that I was reminded of was about consistency. So I may not have been the quickest in my running club that was running the marathon last week. And certainly some of the guys from my running club were aiming to do it in like 2.5, 3 hours, that kind of thing, which is pretty quick. But that feedback that I got from Lynn was gold, because she said, well, yes, they were going for a quicker time, but they dropped a minute or 2 minutes in the last 6 miles. You dropped 20 seconds. So in terms of consistency, I was able to hold my pace pretty much for the first 20 miles. And then I only dropped slightly in the last 6 miles. So I was able to, that consistency helped me to move towards my goal. And those runners that I mentioned who were aiming for 2.5, 3 hours, I was pretty much on my goal or really close to my goal. They were way out of their goal, even though they're much faster runners than me. So it was a big reminder about consistency. They got there quicker, but they didn't meet their targets or achieve their potential. But I did, even though I was slower. So I think that's definitely worth reminding ourselves in business, because often we can see people who seem to be making really, really quick progress, but are they actually achieving their goals, or are they actually achieving their potential? You may be plodding along, putting in less time or devoting less of your energy, but actually if you're doing that consistently and you are achieving your goals, then that's better than somebody who's blazing through but not actually getting to achieve the things that they want to. The other thing it obviously reminded me of was persistence and not giving up. I had a couple of difficult things that happened. So the main thing really was about a month before, I had some niggles with an injury. So my leg got really sore and I had to go and have that sorted out. And I was really worried at one point that was going to affect my training. I also went off to Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank right in the middle of my training. And I had to kind of work these long 19, 20 mile training runs around that trip, which was quite tough because I knew when I was out there, I wasn't going to be able to do lots of running because it was hot and there wasn't really anywhere to run in the Philippines where we were staying. So that was a bit of a challenge. But the biggest challenge was about a month before the marathon, I got really ill. I got a really, really bad bout of sinusitis and I just felt absolutely like rotten. I had no appetite. I felt sick all the time. I had bang headache, and this went on for about 10 days and I swear I thought I was never ever going to feel better again. But before I got ill, I set out on a Saturday morning. I got ill on the Sunday, but on the Saturday morning I'd set out for my run and I'd planned to do 10 miles and I was going to run up to my local park run, and I was going to, it was about 3 miles there, I was going to do the three mile park run, and then I was going to do an extra three laps. And I got about half a mile from my house and I just thought, I can't get my breath. And I was looking at my watch. I couldn't get anywhere near my target time. I was like a minute out, and my target marathon time is much slower than I can run anyway. And I stopped and I stopped again and I stopped again, and I was tearful and I was angry and upset. And I basically ran 3 miles to the park run. I tried to do a couple of warm-up laps but couldn't keep up with my marathon pace or anywhere near it. I normally run my park run in around like under 24 minutes. So that's my kind of faster time at 23 something. And I couldn't keep up with the people who were running 30 minute time. I couldn't get my breath, and I pulled off after one lap and I was upset. I was like confused. I couldn't understand why I couldn't get my breath, and I was in a right old state. I was talking to the photographer yesterday about it, and in the end I just kind of gave up, and it turned out the next day I was ill. But it was a big setback, and it really knocked my confidence, you know, just going out one day and feeling that I couldn't run. I ended up, my doctor said she felt I was suffering from allergies. I ended up getting an inhaler and antibiotics and all sorts of things. But basically, I just couldn't really run after that. And right up until the time that I was on the start line, I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to run my pace because I hadn't really been able to run much. And I was really kind of scared. So, but I had to just go out and do that. So that's one thing that really reminded me about, you know, not giving up and just being persistent. Even though I had that big setback, I just had to go out there and try and do my best. And the other thing was that the last 6 miles of the marathon, just every time I've done it, it's just been so, so tough. And your mind goes and you start to really doubt yourself. If you've ever done a marathon, I'm sure you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you start to get all these kind of dark thoughts and why am I doing this? And I just want to stop. I want to walk. And Mark, who wrote my training plan for me, he said to me that some people see a marathon like that 20 miles is the halfway point. That's when you start to lose the plot and when everything starts to go. And it's really tough to keep going in that part of the race. And you know, you just have to kind of keep going. And the business lesson for me there was that you're most vulnerable to giving up often when you're closest to the finish line. And I know that I often get doubts and fears and often sometimes consider shelving things, often right at that moment when I'm just close to breaking through, like something happens, I have a setback or whatever. And often it can be just that last short stretch before the finish line that you're actually at your most vulnerable of giving up. So it was a reminder for me that actually when you get to that stage, when things get really tough and you are close to the finish, so close you can almost see it. And the worst stretch for me in a marathon is the last 800 meters when you can actually kind of see the finish line, because you know that you can get there, but at the same time, your legs are so heavy and you just feel like you just want to stop and stop, you know, start walking. I think it's the same in business. Often when we're really close to achieving our goals, but we're tired and we're worn out and we're angry sometimes and worked up, that can be the time when we need to just push through. So that was another lesson there. The other thing that I learned was about planning for difficulties. So Mark, who wrote my training plan for me the day before the marathon, he said to me, right, okay, what are you going to do when things get tough in that last 6 miles, when you start to have those dark thoughts and when you want to walk and you feel rotten, what are you going to do? What are you going to say to yourself? And I said to him, well, I'm going to, you know, what I normally do, because I've done a couple of half marathons that have gone quite well, is I normally chunk it down. So I'll say to myself, okay, can you do another mile at that pace? Okay, you can do that. Let's just do that. And then we'll work out the next one. And then I'd say to myself, can you do another mile at this? Yep, come on, I can do that. And that's how I got myself through. We also talked about reminding myself about my charity and reminding myself about why I was doing it. So we discussed the different things that I was going to say to myself when things got tough. And I think the business lesson there obviously is just to plan for the tough times, plan for what you're going to do if things get tough for you. And I've got an episode coming up in the future, actually, Mike Bardi, episode 157. So if you're listening to in the future, that one will already be available. That's really good on this one, actually. So organizing your time and organizing the way that you work so that you are planning ahead really for the tough times and the challenges. The other thing that I learned was about getting support. So when you're trying to achieve something difficult, obviously when you're on the London Marathon or a big marathon like that, the streets are lined with people who are shouting your name. I have my name put on my running top so that more people shout you if you've got that. And I have Miss Janet put on mine, which, because it's quite sort of amusing, I think I get more shouts because of that. But having that support around you, so my family, they waited for me at mile 19, and just seeing them there, almost missed them, it was awful, but seeing them there, that gave me the boost I needed for the next few miles. So just making sure you've got support around you, people that you can talk to, people that, you know, maybe when you're going through a tricky time in your business, or you've got a big launch on, or you're extra busy, that maybe someone who can take over the cooking, or somebody that can, you know, help take the kids for you for an afternoon or something. So just make sure that you get support, because it can be really tough when you're running your own business. I was definitely reminded of that. And the other thing as well is being part of a community. I'm part of an number of membership communities, and I find that that's support for me when I'm going through challenging times or I get stuck on something. And episode 148, that might be one to listen to if you're thinking about joining a membership community and thinking about having that kind of structured support, because the ladies, it is mainly ladies, but there are some men as well in my Soulful PR studio. Someone posted the other day actually just to say, oh, I'm just having a really difficult week, I'm having trouble getting paid, I'm having trouble getting my resources made, whatever it was. And everybody jumped in and gave her support and cheered her up. And I think sometimes being part of a membership community when you're running your own business and having a community online, even if you're not able to do that physically, can be a really good thing to do. The other key thing that I learned was about accountability. So when I was running the London Marathon last week, I knew, because the marathon has an app, I knew that there were going to be dozens probably of people that were tracking me on their phones, and they were looking at every mile that I did to see whether, particularly the members of my running club, was I on track? Was I basically sticking to my time? I knew Mark and Lynn would be tracking me. And so every time I went through a mile marker, I was kind of like, phew, okay, right, they're going to be happy with me because they're going to know that I've hit the right time. During the last 6 miles, when I was starting to slow a bit, I was really worried, and I was imagining them sitting at home saying, she's dropped. And as it turned out, I hadn't dropped that much, but actually just knowing that there were people out there who were actually tracking my time and cared about whether or not I came through the mile marker at 9:55, which was my target pace, you know, that actually helped me along. And in that last those last 6 miles, just knowing that were people who were actually cared about what I was doing and cared about the pace I was doing, that helped me push through and, you know, keep overtaking people and keep pushing myself and keep pushing my speed, which was really hard because I was really, really tired by then. So again, the business lesson there is to get some accountability. There's loads of ways that you can do that, obviously through a coach, through being part of a membership community, like I've just mentioned, or a mastermind group, or, you know, even your accountant or, you know, somebody in your team. But just making sure that you've got somebody who is tracking your progress and helping you to make sure that you're staying on track. A couple of episodes you might want to listen to on that. So episode 148, which I mentioned, which is should you join a membership site? And also live events as well. So getting out and meeting people like my Soulful PR live event. You know, one of the things that we did actually, my last Soulful Marketing event was we got people to write down a goal of something that they wanted to achieve in 3 months. And any day now, I think, they'll be getting those notes that they wrote themselves. We got them to put them in a nice kind of bright envelope. So they'll be plopping through their letterbox in the next few days, I think, reminding them of what they said they were going to do. So, you know, going to a live event or workshop, meeting other people, setting goals together, that can be another way to keep yourself accountable. The other thing is, and this is pretty much the last thing, is to celebrate your wins. So I think when we're building a business, it's so tempting just to kind of get stuck in what you're doing and forget to look back and see how far you've come and what you've achieved. So the day after my marathon, I got this message from Lynn. She said, "You are just in the top half of finishers, finishing in 19,411th place with 19,938 runners behind you. When it comes to women, you finished 5,403rd out of 15,468 female finishers." So that meant I was in the top, though it doesn't sound impressive when it says that many thousand, I was actually in the top 35%, which isn't bad. "In the first 35K of the race, you overtook 9,316 runners, with only 362 overtaking you," which sounds quite impressive when you put it like that. "In the last 7.2K of the race, you overtook 1,190 runners with just 52 passing you," which again, when you put it like that, I'm not the fastest in the world, but, you know, that's going some. And I do think that, you know, for someone like me finishing a marathon in 4 hours 25, which is pretty average though, well, it is a bit above average, but, you know, it's easy just to go, oh yeah, you know, but I'm not one of those people that can do it in 3 hours or 2.5 hours. But actually I made some quite significant wins. And I think the business lesson there is that it's so easy to beat yourself up for all the things you haven't done and all the, you know, the social media updates you could have done, or, you know, the fact you haven't started video yet, or the fact that you are only on one social media platform when you'd like to be on three or whatever. But how about just taking some time to celebrate the things that you have done and the wins that you have made? And I think often when we look back, just as in that example that I gave you, we're often quite surprised. And I know when I recorded episode 150 about my, basically it was a kind of behind the scenes in my business, and ahead of that interview, Rob asked me to send him a list of things that I'd done in the year. And when I wrote it down, you know, I've written a book, I've launched a membership community, I've launched a media diary, I've run 14 live events, whatever it was. When I wrote it all down, I was like, wow, I've actually achieved an awful lot in a year. But when you're just going through it, it doesn't feel like that. So I think the business lesson there is to, you know, just to keep taking some time out, just to remind yourself of how far you've come. And the last thing I wanted to mention was the PR lesson. So obviously I was raising money for the Miscarriage Association. I raised over 2,000. And if you made a donation, thank you so much for that. I know that some of you did. But that in itself was quite interesting, because I, in order to attract those donations, I had to keep telling people that I was doing the marathon. I had to keep myself front of mind. So that meant on my personal Facebook timeline, but also sometimes on my business Twitter and on my Instagram and also in my group, whatever, every time I did a training run, as it got closer to the event, I would upload a picture of it. I got some local press, so I shared that with people. So every time there was any kind of excuse that I could share a photo or a bit of video or a press clipping, I was out there doing it, to the point where some people actually probably got cheesed off with me. And the joke was, by the end of it, I'd say to people, oh, I don't know if I mentioned, but I ran the marathon. They'd be like, yeah, you know, you definitely did mention it. So I think sometimes with our PR, we hold back and we worry about annoying people. But actually, people are busy, they're active on lots of different social media channels, and actually, yeah, there'll always be people who say, oh, you know, you're posting too much, or you're doing too much, or whatever. But, you know, there was nobody who knew me who was in any doubt of the fact that I ran the London Marathon. And every time I posted a picture, every time I posted a newspaper clipping or a piece of video or audio, whatever, I looked in my inbox and there was a donation. And that's really what matters. You know, I was certainly front of people's mind. You know, as with business, there'll always be people who don't like that, who don't like you, what you did. But the people who really mattered, they didn't mind seeing me, and it reminded them that they needed to go and make a donation, or wanted to go and make a donation. So I hope you found that helpful, and I hope you can take some inspiration from some of the lessons that I learned, some of the content that I shared. As ever, I love hearing from you. I'm on Janet at janetmurray.co.uk. You can tweet me at @Jan_Murray, or you can find me over on Instagram at @JanMurrayUK.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business. Thank you.